You will now be listening to Biblical Christianity on Central Africa Baptist Radio. This is a program that comes to you from Central Africa Baptist College, a college that exists to train the next generation of servant leaders in Africa for Great Commission living.
Good afternoon, dear listeners. You are tuned in to Central Africa Baptist Radio on 106.9 FM. And it is time now for Biblical Christianity with your host, Francis Kaunda. Today, as last week, I am again privileged to have a guest with me. And today I have Pastor Sandra Mwanje, who is assistant pastor or one of the pastoral staff at Faith Baptist Church of Riverside right here in Kitwe. I invited him in order to avail you, our dear listeners, that another example of the fruit of an effective study of the Bible. So I do hope that you are going to have a good time with us, as Pastor will be explaining some of the important things regarding our studying of the Bible. Just good news that I would like to bring to you is that our live line is back, meaning you are able to call us, you are able to chat with us, even on this very program. If you have any questions, as Pastor will be explaining some of these things and talking, you give us a call and we will stop him and ask him to give you feedback on that. And the number, in case you have forgotten, our dear listeners, and some of you might be new, is 0961-90-9335. The number again is 0961-90-9335. I'll say that again, 0961-90-9335. That's the number on which you can get through to us so that you participate in today's program. Now, we call Pastor Sandra Mwanje as Pastor Sandy, and I'll ask his permission to refer to him as such, just for convenience sake. So, Pastor Sandy, good afternoon and welcome to Biblical Christianity.
Good afternoon and good afternoon, listeners.
Well, for the sake of our listeners, Pastor, and most of them might not know you, I was just wondering whether you'd be able to share with us, I mean, who are you? Are you a family man? When did you get saved? And maybe even how did you answer your call to ministry? And in terms of ministry, where are you? What are you doing?
Yeah. Okay, first things first, I'm saved. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in 1997 at a youth camp in Dola. Basically, the good news was preached to me from Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, a text that talked about a way that seems right to a man, but its end is death. I acknowledged at that point in time that the lifestyle I was leading, the life I was leading, was leading me to death. And therefore, I accepted, by the conviction of the Spirit, I accepted that I was a sinner needing a salvation. And so I was pointed to the Messiah Christ, who is the way, the life, and the truth, as opposed to the way that leads to death.
Yeah.
Christ leads to life. And that's how I became a Christian.
Interesting that the passage that you responded to, I mean, ties in so well with the solution, Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life, as opposed to this way that seems right to man and yet leads to death. Well, that's so. Are you a family man, Pastor?
I am married to a very beautiful lady,
obviously,
by the name of Omega Mkombo. And we got married 2 months ago. In fact, we are clocking 2 months tomorrow. Yes.
Can I pick on you? I always boast that I'm the only one who rightly pronounces the name of your wife. Am I right?
How do you pronounce?
Omega.
Omega, you are right.
Okay.
That's the way I'm supposed to be.
Okay. Okay. And when did you, just briefly, when did you answer the call to the preaching ministry?
I answered the call to the preaching ministry 2 years after my salvation. But you see, by then I was only in grade 11. So when I shared with my guardians that I wanted to be a pastor, they didn't welcome the idea. They were open to it, but they didn't welcome the idea. I think they wanted me to do something else. So I remember at that stage my sister told me to relax, to slow down, because you know I was very zealous. So my sister told me to slow down and to concentrate on school and on passing my grade 12 exam, and then do a career, then probably afterwards consider a ministry. So and later I went to a teaching college to study teaching.
So you are a teacher by profession?
I am a teacher by profession. So it was there at the teacher's college that again the conviction and the voice of God came back to me by way of a strong burden within me that I should be in the ministry and I should serve the Lord full time. So after working for 3 years at a private school in Ndola, I resigned. And by then I had already applied at a Central Africa Baptist College.
Okay.
So the following academic year, I resigned where I was working and I came here in Kitwe at Central Africa Baptist College, where I did a degree in theology for 4 years.
Okay.
After that, I got a privilege to plant a church in Usakile.
Yeah,
I think you were part of that ministry.
Yeah, that's what I was coming to. I wanted to say, I introduced you as one of the pastors at Faith Baptist Church, but could you just share anything else?
The ministry that I'm involved in, yes.
Yes.
In fact, before I graduated at CABC, I was already involved in a church plant in, in Usakile with two other friends, one in Kenya, yourself, and one in the United States as at now. So we started that ministry, which is still there and flourishing. Then a year later, I think, I was called to be the assistant pastor at Faith Baptist Church. So I'm the assistant pastor of Faith Baptist Church, at the same time overseeing the church plant in Usakile.
Okay.
But I'm also involved at Central Africa Baptist College as the dean of students, and I also teach a few subjects here and there.
Okay.
So those are the ministries that I'm involved
that you're involved in. Thank you very much, Pastor. I'm sure that is very helpful for our dear listeners out there. In case you're just joining us, you're listening to Biblical Christianity, and this is your host, Francis Kaunda, and my guest today is Pastor Sandy, as we call him, but he is Sandra Mwanje, and is assistant pastor from Faith Baptist Church, also works right here at the Bible College, Central Africa Baptist College. And we're here to discuss just procedure in studying the Bible, and I will be going there in a moment. But in case you would like to participate in this program by way of asking him questions to clarify some of the things that he will be saying here, then 0961-909335 is the number. Again, the number is 0961-909335. Pastor, last Sunday you were preaching at Faith Baptist Church Riverside, and I was privileged to be in that service, in fact both morning and evening services, but more particularly for now, morning service. What were you preaching on?
Okay, I was preaching on the subject I entitled, or the theme I entitled, The Need for Spiritual Progress. That's basically what I was preaching on. And that theme was based on the text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, maybe for the
would
sake
you,
of...
Yes, maybe you read for us.
Yes, the Bible reads, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring." Okay. So that was my text.
Okay. You know, I was in the service, as I said, dear listeners, and it's good that I'm the one who says this, because if it comes from Pastor Sandy, you might maybe interpret it as bragging or something. But I was amazed with one thing in your message, or what you called the theme, the need for spiritual progress.
Mm-hmm.
There was this word progress, and how did you arrive at that word? Because when you took us to the text and began to explain why what we were looking at indeed was a need for progress and explained it, I mean, I was just amazed that, because I saw it right there. Could you just, for the sake of our listeners, maybe show us how you got to that word? By the way, the importance of this, Pastor, I think I've already mentioned, I chatted with you before this program, is that in light of what we have been doing on biblical Christianity, I just finished a series on the procedure of systematic Bible study, and just how helping our listeners regarding how do you study the Bible for yourself and also preaching to others. So in light of that, I have just had a burden after that to expose our dear listeners to different examples. People preaching, like last Sunday I had Pastor Mwanza, and now you this Sunday. So I just wanted you to know the importance of why I'm asking this question.
I think that when you are reading the Bible, it is very important that you are observant. Observe, and okay, maybe let me just run through what I do before I preach a text.
Okay, maybe before you get there, I'm still curious, but I'm just thinking, okay, you have people out there. I used to be in a church where my pastor was very good at titles,
okay.
Fancy titles.
Yeah.
But if you go in the Bible, you can't find it. So could you just show them how did you get the word progress? Where did it come from text you read?
Okay, now in the text, let me again go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. The Apostle Paul there says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing." So right there I paused. And I asked myself a very simple question. I said, okay, so here are a people, a church, whose faith was not stagnant. Because the text said, is growing. And the idea of growing is the idea of progress. Is the idea of something that, you know, moves on. In fact, the text furthermore qualifies that type of growth. It says more and more. So you have the idea of something that is moving, something that is not staying at one position.
Sure.
Then again in the same text he says, and the love for each other. So you see, in the first place, the faith, their faith was growing, speedy for that matter, that's progress. And in the second part he says, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. But I paused right there and went to the context, which is very important. And for the context, I decided to read the first epistle, which is First Thessalonians.
I remember you during your preaching referring us back to First Thessalonians.
And I discovered from First Thessalonians, which is a book before Second Thessalonians, in chapter 4 verse 9 and 10, that when he first wrote to them, he was exhorting them, encouraging them, wishing and praying that they may progress, if you like, that they may grow, that what they were doing, they were already a model church, but the Apostle Paul's prayer for them was that they may do it more and more. That's what he wished for, that's what he prayed for. He urged them strongly. And then I now tried to marry that with what I'm seeing in 2 Thessalonians. And from there, it became very clear to say, this is a church that made progress. They received instructions from the Apostle Paul in the first letter. They acted upon those instructions. And now the Apostle Paul, writing the second letter, he is saying, these things are evident, you are progressing.
Yeah.
So briefly, that is how.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, dear listeners, you're listening to Biblical Christianity, and I have Pastor Sandy as guest as we discuss the procedure in Bible study or systematic Bible study. And in case you want to be a part of this program, the good news is that today itself, we got our live line. Okay, 0961909335 is the number on which you can give us a call, and we will be able to pick your question, and Pastor Sandy will be able to address that question. Yes, Pastor, I did catch you. You were almost now beginning to share with us some of the things. But maybe even before you share that, I would say, how did you come up with the text that you preached? What is it that necessitated you to go to? Because sometimes people ask, how do I preach?
Yeah.
Do I just stand and start perusing through the Bible? So how did you come up with that? And then maybe from there, straight, you can also lead us to what you began explaining.
Okay. Before I answer that question, let me just say something in addition to what I said.
Okay.
In the first question you asked, how did I see the word progress in that passage?
Sure.
Or that portion of scripture? It should also be a conviction of every preacher that every word in the Bible is important. It is inspired. So a conviction about the word of God will also lead to the right conclusions. For instance, I do not believe that word growing was added there for convenience purposes. Everything that is in the Bible, we like to say we believe in a verbal plenary inspiration of the scriptures.
Okay.
And that is to say that every word, the whole lot of the Bible is God-breathed.
Sure.
Meaning the things that we have in the Bible, the words that we have in the Bible, these are the words that God wanted by the end of the day to be used so that he can communicate
to the people.
And so that conviction helps sometimes to see what is going on in the Bible.
Yeah.
A conviction about the authority of the scriptures.
Sure.
So let me now come to
what is it that necessitated the choosing of that text?
Yes.
To begin with, and then how did you go about preparing for?
Okay. As a pastor, you see many needs in a church. The Lord opens your eyes to see what is going on, what people are going through, and what your church is lacking at that particular point in time. For me, I saw a need for spiritual progress in so many areas. But then I asked the second question, what does the Word of God say? Or does the Bible address this issue that I'm looking at right now? This issue that I'm seeing? And the Bible has answers for everything, I believe.
Sure.
Okay, the Bible has answers for everything. It is our manual. It is our final authority. We should only say what the Bible says. So therefore, I went now to this text because I saw it as a text that in the case of the Thessalonians addressed the need they had, and therefore it is a text that would also address the need that my church has.
Sure.
Because the Word of God is timeless. The principles of the Bible are timeless. So that is basically how I got to preach.
Okay.
from this text. So what I would say is there are certain needs in the church that would drive a pastor to ask the second question, okay, what does the Bible say about this need? And then go to the Bible and then tell God's people what God's word is saying.
Sure.
Then there are also times when you are going through a book, a process that is called expository preaching. Though at every stage we should really be doing expository preaching.
Yeah.
You know, But there are also certain times, for instance, at our church we are going through Hebrews. Our senior pastor has been preaching through Hebrews.
And he's on leave right now.
Yes.
Okay.
You see, so if you are preaching through a book, you will not really struggle with the question, okay, what am I supposed to preach on today?
Mm-hmm.
If you are preaching through a book, you know today I'm in chapter 2. Mm-hmm. And therefore you're just going to bring out what chapter 2 says and apply it to the people.
Mm-hmm.
But in my case, since I'm not the one preaching through Hebrews,
mm-hmm.
I looked at the need at hand and then brought God's word to address that need.
I mean, just a side note here, you've talked about our senior pastor, Fasaidi.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a challenge? Is it overwhelming to step in someone's shoes? I mean, pastor is only on leave for 1 month,
mm-hmm.
and you have the privilege to preach to us two Sundays, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make you uncomfortable? Because there's a stage you have set already for the expectation from the people that he's been preaching to for a long time. Do you come in overwhelmed? Will I feed these people the way the man himself does, or is that a thought that clicks in your mind, or you just, I guess, jump in as a giant and say, I'll do it?
Well, that thought does pop up, but I guess the strength that we have as a church is we do things as a pastoral staff
together,
and so yes. So for instance, he didn't decide alone to preach through Hebrews.
Okay.
We decided as a team that what our church needs is to go through Hebrews, and the lessons that are presented for us in Hebrews will really be relevant and necessary.
Yeah.
So there's a sense in which
it's continuity.
We do things together. So when I step in, I'm representing the other pastors.
Okay.
I'm representing the other pastors.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, Pastor. You began explaining, and maybe just before you come in, dear listeners, once again, you are listening to Biblical Christianity, and I have Pastor Sandy. Pastor Sandala Mwanji, those are the full names, as my guest, as he discusses with us the procedure for studying the Bible. I think one of the things our listeners, you have heard from Pastor, from his theme, the need for spiritual progress. You can see everything that he wrote in that theme, it's based on a text. Sometimes we can be so fancy about titles which have no bearing on the text. So, Pastor, thank you so much for showing us that. So how do you really get to come up with a sermon like you did last Sunday?
First of all, I read the text.
Okay.
Okay, so I had this burden, there's a need I wanted to address, and then went to 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
What I did and what I do, I just read the text.
Okay.
Without referring to any commentaries or any second opinions out there, I just read the text trying to understand what God's word is saying and what Paul was saying to the original listeners.
Okay.
So it became very clear to me by the time I was going to my second stage, which was jotting down now what 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in the second reading I started jotting down a few things I was observing.
Okay.
Okay, so if you like, the first stage I read, the second stage I jotted down the things that I was seeing, the things I observed in the text.
Yeah.
Then I now went to the context, because as I read the first chapter of Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians, a second question popped up into my mind. Okay, why is he saying what he is saying?
Yeah.
Where is he coming from? I think let me go back and read the entire book. In fact, what I did, I just read the entire book of 1 Thessalonians. And then a few things jumped out. And it dawned on me to say, oh, that is the reason why in 2 Thessalonians, he is saying your faith is growing. Because in the first epistle, he was urging them to grow
okay.
more and more. Okay, so then the next thing I did was now to outline the ideas to put them in a systematic form.
Okay,
and so my first point, and of course. Last Sunday, I was trying to show us, first of all, the necessity, because I'm going to preach on that theme for the next 2 Sundays. Yes. Yeah. So, last Sunday, I wanted to show us what is going on and the need for it, the necessity for the very spiritual growth.
Okay.
So, basically, I was doing an overview, if you like. But then, I also realized that there was thanksgiving that was expressed because of the progress that the Thessalonians were making. Okay, so that observation also, why is Paul giving thanks? He's giving thanks because progress is a desirable thing.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's what that's what God wants for His children, for all of us. He wants all of us to make progress. And so, when Paul observed it, when he saw it in the Thessalonians, he was grateful.
Yeah.
So I began from there, therefore, to show us the what occasioned thanksgiving in that text, and it was progress, and why it is necessary for us when we see a measure of progress in another Christian to bring it out, to be thankful, because that in itself is a catalyst to further progress.
Okay, maybe just on you've hinted on observing the text, and you're seeing this. There are two things that you've mentioned that I want to draw attention to. How important is knowing the original meaning? You referred to, you're asking questions because you want to know the original meaning. And the next question I would like for you to address is, you've talked about context. You were forced to go back to 1 Thessalonians. And as you are saying that, I'm just thinking of how many times even myself have been a culprit of misinterpreting a passage because you don't want to respect the context. What is he saying in the context? So I'd like for you again to come and comment on the context. But just before you do that, dear listeners, I would like to give you the number on which you can get in touch with us in case you have a question. Pastor has been talking to us about his sermon on Sunday and the procedure that he went through. And in case you have a question regarding Bible study and how to come up with a sermon or something like that, then the number is 0961-909335. 0961-909335. So, Pastor, could you comment on those two? The importance of knowing what the writer meant originally, and the issue of the context.
The issue of the context. Yeah, it's very important because and that's the issue of the original meaning, what the writer meant originally. Because, you know, the way these letters have been written, in fact, the way the Bible books have been written, they have authors and recipients or receivers, okay? So these authors were addressing particular audiences.
Yeah.
Okay, and so the words they used, the approach they used, and everything else was would find their meaning because of the audience. And therefore, it is very important for us to go back to the original to say, okay, so how did the original listeners get this message?
Yeah.
How did they interpret this message? It is from there that we are going to ask the second question. So, what does this message mean for us?
Okay.
Or what principle would we draw from this message for us today?
Is there anything wrong with beginning to ask the second question? You read the text and you say, what does it mean for me, before you say, what did it mean to them?
There's everything wrong with that procedure.
Okay.
Because number one, the author addressed the first audience first, who are the original readers. Okay. If you start with the second question, what does this mean for me? You may misinterpret, and then as a preacher, tell people in God's name what God is not saying.
Mm.
And that is very, very dangerous.
Mm.
So, what God is saying, he first told these original readers.
Yeah.
And then, as I said, they are timeless principles in there.
Mm.
And it is those timeless principles that we are going to get and apply for ourselves.
Okay.
Then coming to the issue of context. The subject of context is crucial. Even in our general discussions, you need to understand the context for you to make meaning of a particular conversation. Let me give you an example. As you are passing and you hear me tell my wife, I won't drive you. I won't drive you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you pass, and wherever you are going, you start spreading the message, Pastor Sandy does not drive his wife.
Mm.
In fact, he refused to drive his wife.
Yeah.
When, if you had listened to the conversation, to the context, I was saying, I won't drive you if you won't give me a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you see, you've missed the drink part.
Yeah.
And you've gone away telling
the interpretation is this pastor is very cruel.
You see, that's the thing. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the context will also tell you the manner in which those words were said.
Yeah.
I might have said them in a very romantic way to my wife.
Yeah.
We were having a light moment and I say, I won't drive you.
Mm. Yeah.
Until you give me a drink. But you see, you went without getting until you give me a drink.
Exactly.
And you've spread the wrong message.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what would happen if a preacher...
You know, Pastor, it's interesting. Me, I'm even thinking of another meaning as you say that. Because maybe you could have been referring to, I won't force you to do this. But... Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
But that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Okay. So it is disastrous, I should say, for a preacher to ignore context.
Mm.
And the danger is you are going to say, as I said, you are going to say in God's name what God is not saying. That is dangerous. That should be avoided by every preacher. Because Paul taught Timothy, preach the word.
Yeah.
Preach the word.
Well, dear listeners, I don't know about you, but as I hear Pastor say these things, even the illustration that he has given, I'm just thinking, how many times do we do things like that? You hear something not completely, and you go and even change the meaning. That in itself should illustrate how important this concept of context is.
Mm.
Okay, Pastor, you observed, and what followed after that?
Yeah, so I observed. I then went into interpretation.
Okay. Meaning?
Interpretation meaning, it's basically the question, what does this mean?
Okay.
Okay, so for instance, the word, we ought always to thank God for you.
Mm.
What does that phrase mean?
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
We ought is, so now here at this stage I went to dictionaries and all those things. And then I discovered ought is in the line of we must, we should.
Mm.
Okay. Here it is an obligation that where there is progress, there should be what? Thanksgiving.
I'm just now thinking of, because you emphasize the importance of every word, and because just that word, you are saying something. Paul is saying something regarding how this should be done.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so the interpretation therefore, asks the question, what does this mean?
Mm.
Your faith is growing. Okay, now even in simple English there, we will notice that growing is the idea of continuous, present continuous tense.
Yeah.
You know, so when you start doing things like that, those technical things like that, we are interpreting the passage. Okay, so when everything is now put together, then you will arrive at one meaning. Okay, what this means, therefore, is spiritual progress.
Okay.
The need for spiritual progress. Then from there, you want to apply.
Okay.
Okay, you want to apply because you've already answered the meaning. Okay, so what did this mean to them? What does this mean for us? Then you are now applying the text. And application is so important, I must emphasize, because it is application that forces people to see how the word that is being preached applies in their situations and what they should do in their situations because God is saying this. Okay, so that is the importance of application, and it is really the last stage.
Okay. Well, Pastor, thank you so much. This is interesting. I mean, when you just think of how much goes in. I mean, let me just ask, how easy or difficult was that process?
It is work. That's what I can say.
Yeah.
It is work. For instance, I began preparing that message 2 Sundays ago. And so I kept thinking through. I kept jotting down points. So already I'm preaching next Sunday, this Sunday, and I know what I'm going to preach about. I'm thinking through. You know, I've started gathering points here and there as I'm doing my usual business. I'm seeing things, and sometimes I'm getting illustrations from what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
So, in short, it is work.
Yeah.
And the pulpit, therefore, is not for lazy people.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of work for me. What advice would you give to preachers out there? Because as you say that, I'm thinking to myself, could it be that one of the reasons we have a lot of people who misinterpret the Bible is because they don't want to work at the process, and also because they don't want to maybe put some of these things into play. Like, for example, the way you have illustrated the concept of context. I think there are many people out there who probably might be guilty with this, and yet they continue on. Like, what would be your advice? I mean, does it really matter what people do about the Word of God?
Let me start with the listeners, maybe, or the people that listen to pastors.
Yeah.
I think that this is not only for pastors, but for every Christian. We must take care how we hear, what we hear, and from whom we hear it from.
Okay.
Because no one will stand on the judgment day and say, but God, you see my pastor. Or this is what
there'll
I was
be no
told.
Excuse.
There will be no excuse. Okay, so all of us should be responsible, and all of us should know these things. Even if you're not a pastor out there, you should know these things so that you may discern when a passage is misinterpreted. You will be able to discern and to say, this is not God speaking. Okay, this is not the word of God.
Yeah.
That's the reason why, for me, these principles are not just for the pastor. These are principles that should be taught to every child of God, and these are principles that every child of God should know.
Yeah.
I think in the Gospels, I have just forgotten the exact passage or chapter. Jesus Christ warned, he said, take care, therefore, how you listen. The parable of the sower is also given in that context, in that light. When Jesus begins to interpret the parable of the sower, he says, the seed that fell on the side road are those who hear, but evisit.
Yeah.
And the seeds are those who hear. So this is extremely important, and every child of God must know when God is speaking.
Yeah.
Then let me now come to the
preachers. Yeah.
I think the Bible is very clear. In James and chapter 3, the Bible says, let not many of you become teachers.
Mm.
Because those of us who teach shall receive a stricter
judgment.
Okay, it's in the context of the tongue, but James is realizing that the ones who use the tongue mostly are those who teach, the teachers.
Mm.
And the teaching ministry, particularly in church, preaching is a matter of life and death. There are just two things in preaching.
Yeah.
Life and death. If you say something wrong, you may mislead a soul that is naive out there. And by misleading, it means death. That soul will fall in a ditch. And the blood of that soul will be upon you.
Yeah.
That is how crucial it is. At the same time, when you correctly interpret the Bible, you are bringing life to souls. It might be, for instance, like what we are looking at, you are forcing, or rather telling people to see the need and the necessity for them to progress in their spiritual lives. Again, that is towards life. Okay, that is towards spiritual life. Okay, so when the Word of God is correctly handled, correctly interpreted, it ministers life. If it is misinterpreted, it means death. So for me, that in itself should be enough to sober up everyone who says they are a preacher. And let me just say one thing, sorry.
Yeah.
It's probably important for us to heed the caution that James brings to us when he says, let not many of you become
teachers.
It's a lot of work. And I personally feel that some people who are in pulpits right now, some people who have, you know, cluttered the preaching ministry, some of them should humbly step down.
Stay out. Yeah, it's interesting, Pastor. When you say that, my thought is then church is no place for games, for just for fun. And when people go to hear a preacher preach, they must be spoken to by God, either encouraged, shown their sin, whatever the case might be. We should be coming from church saying we have heard from God, and not not church. Well, Pastor, thank you so much. Maybe before we go, Sunday evening, you had the privilege of conducting a baptism, and I was amazed, the baptism of one soul from the church that you have been involved in the church plant. So the bus had to run to Usakiri for one soul. Okay, there were those that accompanied this person.
Yeah.
And but how important was this to you? Because the baptism was quick. One person, and again they're on the bus going back to Usakiri. How important was that to you?
Yeah. Yeah, the Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Just one. You know, not many. John chapter 3 verse 16, as popular as that verse is, it was a sermon to one person, Nicodemus. You know, so it is the value that God himself places upon one sinner who repents.
Well, dear listeners, there you have it. I had Pastor Sandy today discussing the procedure for systematic Bible study, and I hope that you have benefited from that. Pastor, I would like to thank you so much for finding time to be with us on Biblical Christianity.
It was my pleasure.
Well, listeners, until next time, we would like to say bye-bye for now. But before I go, let me just give you contact numbers. 0975-769685 is one contact number that you can use if you want to get in touch with us. The number again is 0975-769685. Bye-bye for now.
That was Pastor Francis Kaunda talking to Pastor Sandra Mwandi about biblical interpretation.